Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Fearless Generations, 12 Steps to Freedom. Tonight we will continue our discussion on step number 4, compassion, with emphasis on kindness. And as always, we have Terry Sayre and me, Kelly Fox. How are you doing tonight, Terry?
I'm doing great. I wish I had done my homework, but I did work on it a little bit. I know Kelly is very consistent about doing her homework and posting it on our website, and I just want to acknowledge her for that commitment. Because she's inspiring to me. And so she's challenged me to put my notes that I take while we have our discussion up on our website. So she's going to make me a little space for Terry's notes. So I'm going to do that.
Yes.
I'm going to make a commitment to her that I will put up my notes, because that's one of my proactive behaviors, is to write notes while I'm on our show. And so that way I can share those with our listeners, and there will be more than just Kelly writing on our website. So I want to encourage all of our listeners to do that as well. As you go through the week and you practice the behaviors and the strategies that we've shared with you, that you'll take a second and go to the website and click on the homework section and share one thing that you've done this week that's helped you to incorporate kindness as a way of having compassion for others and for yourself. So we're going to talk about how to embrace kindness tonight. And by embracing kindness, we open ourselves up to accept our weaknesses, which they're so-called weaknesses. I'm not sure that they really are weaknesses. They're opportunities for growth. And we'll look for improvement in our lives when we have compassion, because when we see our humanity and we recognize the opportunities to grow, then we have compassion, one for others as well as for ourselves. So it really becomes a lifestyle. I think embracing compassion and having kindness, making room for expansion in our minds and our hearts, really gives us an opportunity to look at kindness as a way of life, not as a strategy or a theory, but as a way of life. We become expanded when we open ourselves to kindness and to being kind to others. And it gives us an opportunity to share that concept with others and to recognize when kindness would be a better way to look at things or another way to look at things. I think I like Rhonda, when Rhonda talks about growth is a way of looking at things differently. And I think when we look through the lens of kindness and compassion, it opens space for other people. So I'm excited to continue our discussion about compassion. Compassion is my essential nature, and it allows me to be on my wheel of freedom. And that's something we talk a little bit about, and really we'll share opportunities for you when we finish this year to perhaps join with us and look at your wheel of freedom and what is it that allows you to live the life that you were intended to live. And for me, it's compassion. So this is a perfect opportunity for me to share my ideas and to listen to Kelly's perspective from her generation about compassion. So that's some of the things I was thinking about, Kel. What about you?
Well, on the website, what I put down, because we wanted to review the homework from last week. So the homework of last week was 3 questions. How do you define compassion? How compassionate are you with your imperfections? And how can you become more compassionate with yourself? And so what I shared on the website was, 1, I define compassion as giving yourself a break, seeing yourself through eyes of love, letting go of expectations, and accepting who you are and what you have to give as enough. I actually wrote and enough, but that's supposed to say as enough. I don't know if I can edit that. And then to the question number 2, I said, I am not always the most compassionate towards myself. When it comes to something I have been practicing for a while, I show myself less compassion. And then with number three, the question, let me repeat the question just in case you forgot it. How can you become more compassionate with yourself? I put, I think a tool that is going to help me is acknowledgement. And Terry talks a lot about acknowledgement as a tool that she uses that is really supportive towards her. And acknowledgements is actually a really, it's a very big struggle for me because it's not something that is easy for me to do at all. There are some times where I will sit and I will think for quite a while about what is something I even did today, because I'm just not the type of person that gives myself credit for very much. And so I know when I have been really diligent about my acknowledgments in the past, it has really helped me. And so that's something that I want to really start to do every single day and really take that time to acknowledge myself for the things that I accomplished through the day, but not just tasks that I complete, but other things that I do that I normally would not give myself credit for. So that's how I did my homework. And I think compassion is something that we find very easily to give to others. You know, we're taught to be kind, to share, to be polite, only say something nice. If you don't have something to say that's nice, don't say anything at all or whatever. You know, you're told all those things growing up. But are we really taught to be kind to ourselves? You know? And that's definitely something that I am trying to teach my children. When I hear them say their negative talk out loud, I say, why would you say that? Why would you say that? That's not true. You're very smart. You're beautiful. You're talented. And I try to switch that language around so that they're being kind to themselves. And so I think that's something that we definitely need to practice with ourselves. And, you know, we wouldn't, I mean, a lot of the things that I tell myself, I would never tell someone else. And I think that we need to turn that around and treat ourselves as well as we would our best friend or our mom or our child or, you know, our significant other, that we are nice to ourselves, that we take care of ourselves, that we treat ourselves with kindness and compassion. And that is something that I've definitely been practicing and that I'm trying to get better at. And that goes along with my thing that I'm doing this year of trying to make my home a place that I love. Because my concerns normally are my kids happy here? Is my husband happy here? I tend not to think about myself and what I want or how I want to see things. And so I've been trying to practicing, being a little bit more kind to myself and show myself a little bit more compassion with things like that.
So I hear you saying that you're aware that through this definition of compassion and answering these two questions that you feel that it's easier for you to be compassionate with others. So your definition of compassion, let me go back and see if I got that, was to give yourself a break.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the three things that you said? Because I only got that one down.
Oh, let me go back to it. I said to give yourself a break, see yourself through eyes of love, let go of expectations, and accept who you are and what you have to give as enough.
So give yourself a break, and I heard you say that giving
see yourself,
yourself
through give, eyes of love.
I get that, but giving yourself a break is not easy for you to do, or it's easier for you to give others a break.
Oh, that specific one. It depends what it is. If it's something I haven't really committed to, then it's probably easy for me to give myself a break. But with things that I'm committed to and then I slip up on, I'm definitely harder on myself. It depends.
Be acknowledging yourself as giving yourself a break, or when it comes to acknowledgments?
Oh, when it comes to me using the tool of acknowledgments to show compassion towards myself, is that what you're asking?
That is what I'm asking.
Okay. I don't know if I would acknowledge myself necessarily for that. I mean, I would probably say it more like, because acknowledgments are supposed to be stated in the positive, so I don't know if I would say give myself a break. I would say, you know, I acknowledge myself today for showing kindness towards myself in regards to this, and this, or something like that. I don't know if I would necessarily use that wording, but it would probably be something, you know, the same idea. But I think I would probably more acknowledge myself for things like, you know, more on the line of not beating myself up, which is, I kind of see giving yourself a break as the opposite of beating yourself up.
Okay.
Like,
so
instead of
great.
Saying, oh, Kelly, you didn't get that done again today, you're such a loser, blah, 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 right? Beating myself up. I would say, you know what, Kelly, you didn't get that done today, but there's always tomorrow, and tomorrow you can get it done. That would be giving myself a break. Does that make
good.
Sense?
So use acknowledgments to show yourself compassion by giving yourself a break and seeing yourself through the eyes of love rather than the realm of expectations.
Right.
Right. And the third thing you said about compassion, what was that?
Well, the third thing was letting go of expectations, but you already touched on that. And then I said, and accepting who you are and what you have to give as enough.
Okay, accepting yourself as enough.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of similar to giving yourself a break, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, you could definitely look at it that way. I mean, it all depends on your definition of giving yourself a break. You know what I mean? I think that's why I kind of listed several different things. I mean, it definitely could.
Yeah, so I think you have a clear definition of compassion, and that by acknowledging yourself, you can have kindness for yourself through compassion because you have an understanding and a clear definition of compassion. So would you say that acknowledgments would be a strategy for you that would help you to have kindness for yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that awareness then brings a willingness to write acknowledgments for yourself?
Well, I think it definitely brings you the opportunity to choose to do that or not. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, am I willing? How committed am I? And all of that. And then you have to set yourself up for success as well. What are you going to write them down on? What are you going to write them with? You know, what time of day are you going to write them down? You know, all that kind of stuff as well.
So where are you in that process?
I think about it. I've been thinking about it for a while, but I haven't set myself up for success yet. So I haven't gone to the point of going, okay, I'm going to write them down in this at this time of day. So I'm right there at that step. Getting to the point
right.
where I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop thinking about it and telling myself that this would be a good thing, and I'm going to actually, you know, pick a time and pick a place to, you know, to do it.
Right. So you're ready to act on the commitment.
Yeah.
So another strategy that we shared was the four A's. And if you remember the four, acknowledge the feeling, allow the to process the feeling, ask what am I committed to, and then to act on the commitment. So if the feeling is kindness and compassion, you want to acknowledge that and then allow yourself to feel that feeling, then ask what am I committed to, and then act on that commitment. So you're at the stage of acting on the commitment, of writing your knowledge acknowledgments, because that allows you to feel compassion and kindness, which are two feelings that you want to have in your life. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. I want to acknowledge you for that, because that's the process of getting to the point where you can take the action. And so I want to share with you and our listeners how I was able to incorporate gratitudes and acknowledgments into my daily routine, and how I've shared before what a support that is for me. So I have a journal. I just buy these journals that I buy them at Walmart, and they're I think they have a name. I'm not sure. I think they're called composition books.
They're called the composition. Mm-hmm.
But they're not just the regular composition books that are kind of a beige color. They're the ones that have a pretty cover, and they're bound by, I think it's, they're sewed together, but they have quite a few pages in them, and I buy those, and they're different patterns and different colors. So whatever hits me the day that I need to buy a new one, that's what I buy. The one I have now is kind of like a rainbow color, and I'm almost done with that one, ready to start another one. A lot of times they're black and white or red and white. They're kind of speckly. But they also come in different patterns. So I have started, before I get out of bed, I've made a commitment that before I get out of bed each morning, I write my gratitudes and my acknowledgments, and I write them for the previous day. So I've had time to sleep on the day. And I think in our sleep, we do process things. And so I'll write my gratitudes first, and those, I think, are a little bit easier maybe for some people to write gratitudes, what you're thankful for, because they're about other people and events that have occurred. And then I write my acknowledgments, and then I read my scriptures. And I read one chapter a day, whatever particular set of scriptures that you're reading. And I'm committed to do that before I get out of bed. And it's really worked well for me to be very consistent, because I've made that commitment and that's how I'm going to act upon it. And for me, it works. It may not work for other people, because maybe they don't get up until they hear their children crying, or they need to get the baby out of bed, or they've got to fix breakfast. But for me, if I know I have to be somewhere at 7 in the morning, like I do tomorrow morning, then I know that I need to wake up no later than 5:30 to write my gratitudes and acknowledgments, have time to take my shower, get ready, and get out of the house by a certain time. So I gauge the time that I'm going to get up by how much time it takes me. About 20 minutes. I can sometimes do it in 15 minutes to write my gratitudes and acknowledgments and read a chapter in whatever scripture I'm reading. The maximum is going to be a half an hour. So I gauge my morning by what time I need to get up in order to finish that. It works for me. So like, Kelly, you're going to start, you know, you're ready to take action. So you're going to decide when's the best time for me to do that. And so for me, it has to be a time that I know there's not going to be distractions. I know that if something comes up, and so far I have been able to keep that commitment, and I think I've done it now for about 2 months, because I looked back and just to see where I consistently did it every day, because before there I may have missed a day, or I might even miss 2 or 3 days, and that was not supporting me in terms of my forward movement. So it's working for me. Now if something happens that I don't get it done, I feel like I won't beat myself up. I won't get discouraged. I don't have an expectation to get it done every day. I have an intention. And that intention comes out in been planning and preparing to know I'll have time in the morning, knowing what my day's work is, because I do my daily log. So the daily log also supports me, and I know we've put that up on our website as well. So the daily log, in tandem with the gratitudes and acknowledgments, really supports me to have compassion. And by doing these, taking these notes and defining compassion, and then the proactive behaviors that support compassion, one of those is being kind to myself. So as we talk about kindness, that's allowing ourselves to recognize our areas where we have opportunities for growth, and then seeing things differently, being gentle, all of that supports me in having kindness. Practicing investing in everything, but not attaching to certain outcomes, that really supports me. That's part of my intention to be kind. And again, feeling the feelings, letting them go through me, but not getting stuck in the feeling, if it's a feeling of sadness or if it's a feeling of disappointment because I've had an expectation, then allowing that feeling to go through me. Okay, I had it. I had an expectation, and I allow that feeling to go through me, and then I ask, what am I committed to? And then acting on the commitment, which is the intention to have compassion and kindness for myself. So that's how the process. Now, tomorrow I'm going to be 70 years old. Let's just let it all out there. You know, I'm seven decades. So it's taken me some time to get to this ability and this place where I'm committed to those gratitudes and acknowledgments, and I don't have any children in my home that I have to take care of. I'm taking care of myself, so that also gives me that opportunity to designate that time and not have any interruptions. So for you, it's different. You have 5 kids at home. You have a husband to take care for. I'm a widow. Whatever it is. I'm just a person. I don't have a label on myself, but I don't have a husband that I need to worry about waking up when I get up, and I can sit in my bed, turn the light on, and I can do my gratitudes and my acknowledgments at whatever time I decide to. So for me, in my spot in my life, the space that I live in, that works. But I think what makes it work is the commitment. So I really acknowledge you for being in that place and for being willing to make that commitment now and to get those gratitudes and those acknowledgments a part of your daily life, because it will allow you to have kindness for yourself and compassion.
Thank you. Well, we have a caller on, and I was wondering if he might be willing to come on and tell us what his definition of compassion is, and then how he feels or what tools he might use to show more compassion for himself.
Hello, Jay. This is Jay again. So my definition of compassion, I don't know that I've necessarily put a lot of thought into what it is, but it's being able to show kindness to someone, but not just, you know, okay, and I'm going to show kindness to someone, but being able to do it because you can have some kind of empathy for them. You can either put yourself in their position, or if you can't put yourself, you know, if you can't imagine yourself in their position because it's just such a different position, at least being able to see how that position is difficult for that person, and then using, you know, that understanding of what they're going through to have the kindness come from your heart and not just be something that you're doing, you know, that that the kindness is coming from a place in yourself where you really, you know, want to do something for that person because you can feel their pain or you can at least understand their pain. Projecting that on yourself, projecting that on yourself, having compassion for yourself is being able to look at your situation and, you know, you're feeling your pain all the time, but to really look at that pain and, you know, understand how it affects your choices and your actions, or maybe, you know, your weaknesses or your limitations affect your choices and your actions, and to, you know, be able to forgive yourself or to, you know, let yourself, you know, to acknowledge yourself for things that you have accomplished and to not beat yourself up for things that you haven't. So that's all.
Very cool. And so is there a tool that we have mentioned that you find would help you be more compassionate with yourself?
You mentioned acknowledgement, and I think that's a good one, too, because I do, like you, I sit there and I try to think, what could I acknowledge myself for? And lots of little thoughts will come to my head, and it won't be, I'll think about it, I'm like, that's not really something to acknowledge myself for, that's just something I did today, you know? And I have to kind of reflect on, well, yeah, it was something I did today, but can't I find something about it to acknowledge myself for? But then I sit there and I try to find, like, what were the big things. And I think just going through that process, even though at first it's kind of a little bit of beating up on myself, it's kind of healthy because it helps me really, you know, sift through everything I did and find the good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I don't know how much time we have left, but...
We have 3 minutes.
I have a friend that is going through... an illness with her husband. We're all familiar. And then on Facebook this last week, she did a kind of open to discussion about empathy. So I think it's interesting that Jay brought up empathy and seeing other and understanding others' pain. But I think empathy, I just had this thought when I was having this dialogue, that empathy is also something that we can have for people when people are experiencing success and genuine happiness. Because I think sometimes when people are very successful and they're having a really happy experience, a joyful experience, that sometimes instead of empathy, we feel jealousy. And that I think empathy also can be where you feel great joy for people when they have a joyful experience. And you understand and feel that joy for them as well. I don't know. That just came to my I was thinking about that. And I think, does empathy only occur when people are having difficult times, or is empathy a process we can go through no matter what the experience another person's having? I want your opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think definitely, but I hadn't thought of it that way. I've never thought of it that way, but I think definitely, because I think sometimes we do tend to go towards, you know, being jealous or wishing we were having that same success or that same joy instead of going, wow, that's, you know, that's awesome that they're experiencing that because I have felt that way or I know how, what they're going through and how awesome that they're now feeling that way. But I've never thought of it that way.
It made me have a deeper desire to understand empathy. Mm-hmm. Because empathy is really feeling and understanding. If you can't actually feel the person, you know, what the person is experiencing, it's understanding it and being willing to understand and experience that with someone. And I think we always maybe equate it with sorrow and sadness and pain rather than all the feelings that we have as human beings and that we can empathize with people. Because I think people always equate sympathy, and then you say, no, I'm not being sympathetic, I'm having empathy. But I think it's deeper than that. I don't know. When Jay said that, it just brought it to my mind.
Yeah. No, I think we've had a great discussion tonight, and I would like to thank Jay for coming on and sharing with us once again. I'm excited to see his process through this year, because he's someone who is... kind of new to this, to these 12 steps. And so it's exciting to see someone throughout the year and how they're going to process through these steps with us. Also, I'd like to thank you all for coming and sharing with us in Fearless Generations tonight. Please come back next week and we will continue our discussion on compassion. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Kelly.
Good night.
All right.